welcome back to In the Moment. More state and local law enforcement authorities are learning self-awareness along with situational awareness. It's happening in part through a course on emotional intelligence. The state of South Dakota mandates it during training for future law enforcement officers. In a few moments, we'll talk about how South Dakota has developed this modern technique with Department of Criminal Investigation Director Brian Gortmaker. But first, we hear from recruits in the program. SDPB's Keely Baltina takes us to the capital city for training.
Almost nothing is visible in the blackness when a trainer's voice echoes through the dark.
Shooters with the light technique of your choice. Up!
Circles of light illuminate silhouettes. The beams overlap like Venn diagrams as students employ flashlights during a weapons simulation. Strobes of light swirl as law enforcement recruits complete the drill.
Weapons check. Holster.
Welcome to law enforcement training in Pierre, South Dakota. Recruits don navy polos, khaki pants, and black shoes. They sport belts with compartments to carry the tools of their profession. They work with firearms, learn defensive tactics, and journal about their emotions.
It's fun to watch some of them because of all the materials they have two books on emotional intelligence sitting there on top. You know, and you see some of them just from the body language, like, what in the world is this? I thought we were coming to Peace Academy.
Emotional intelligence training is a requirement in South Dakota's program. Law enforcement training coordinator Greg Williams says it starts by helping recruits know what they don't know.
Track those situations.
Williams mentors Andrew Becker. He's a police officer from Mitchell. Becker completes an emotional intelligence survey to assess four competencies. His weakest area is self-awareness.
I don't know what I'll find out about myself within the next 10 weeks that I either have been ignoring or not recognized, and now I'm focused on it.
Becker says he's willing to learn. He and Williams develop a plan to pay attention to situations that elicit emotion, and Becker commits to journaling about his responses, both the way he reacts and how he can improve. Williams says self-awareness requires people take responsibility for their feelings.
He may think he is handling something effectively, and really he's not. That's why I recommend he talk to his girlfriend or to his parents, and you start realizing pretty quickly that, you know, you're not reacting the way that you think you could be reacting.
William says recruits need practice recognizing their own emotions and understanding how they affect other people.
When they get in the live fire, is they will have to actually journal about, okay, today you shot somebody. Okay, now you have to go home and have a conversation with your family about that. How's that conversation going to be? It's adding that whole aspect. So they're forced to confront the emotions of, okay, I just shot somebody today. Now, granted, it's fictional here, but it gets them thinking about, how am I going to handle this? What am I going to tell my kids, if anything? How am I going to explain this to my wife?
Williams rattles off statistics that indicate law enforcement officers experience greater than average rates of burnout, relationship problems, and even suicide.
Think about the oxygen mask in the plane. You put it on yourself first before you can treat others. Well, if we can't teach a police officer that same aspect, how in the world can they serve the public if they can't serve themselves first?
Serving themselves first does not mean putting themselves first. Recruit Eric Peterson knows that. Peterson embodies a classic image of law enforcement. Pressed creases on his clothes, shiny shoes, close-cropped hair, and a demeanor that is so overly professional, it's difficult to read. Peterson says he and his wife recently sold their home. He's training a couple of hours away, so his wife had to take on the for sale by owner work in addition to everyday life that includes a 4-year-old and pets. Peterson says his wife wanted to enlist a realtor.
I just didn't want to pay the money for it. So it was kind of that weighing the cost of paying the money to have a realtor to take the burden off my wife and sell it quicker, or kind of be stubborn and me not wanting to spend the money and holding on to that. So instead of maybe being quick to say, hey, no, we're not going to spend the money, let's wait, that was kind of my action to think about how that would affect her and ripple out not only to my son, but to all those that surrounded my wife. So it was just a better option to go with a realtor to help her down the process, which would help everybody else around her also.
Peterson says his focus on self-awareness helps him acknowledge how he hurts or uplifts people he encounters. Peterson completed the state law enforcement training before entering the Highway Patrol Academy. The future state trooper says he didn't anticipate an emotional intelligence component, but he says it makes sense.
If it's just a speeding ticket or something like that, we can make a positive outcome so that if we do end it that way, the next officer that maybe stops somebody or they see at a convenience store and say hi to, it'll be a positive impact for them. So then we're building the better image of police in today's world instead of already trying to dig out of a hole.
LAT-1, LAT-04, 1044.
South Dakota law enforcement students on a range of twisting roads simulate traffic stops. They use the right radio calls, park correctly behind the vehicles they pull over, and walk up to the windows to practice the procedure.
Good afternoon, I'm Officer Baker with the Pierre Police Department. The reason why I stopped you today is you're going 55 and a 45 back there.
I didn't realize that.
Didn't realize that? No. Where are you headed to?
Highway Patrol recruit Jordan Millia says she sees value in using a person's name here.
Is saying, I'm not a robot. I actually want to know a little bit about you, and you are a person. You're a human being to me, and I respect that.
Melius has dark hair slicked back into a short ponytail. Her black tie is straight, and her badge gleams. Melius characterizes herself as shy, and this former accountant says she's working on her social awareness. She says she's great with faces, but struggles with names. Her goal? Learn more than 50 names for everyone in her training class and instructors. She did it by week two.
When somebody that you know comes up and remembers your name, you feel a sense of, hey, that person actually cares about me. And that's why it's attached to the emotional intelligence. It's not just the person who is reaching those goals, hey, I can do this. It's making everybody else feel important.
Melia says her emotional intelligence survey shows she has keen self-awareness, and she says she struggled with her confidence. Melia says she turned to other strategies in South Dakota's law enforcement curriculum to bolster her strength. She visualized herself succeeding.
And I couldn't believe how much it actually worked before I went and did a class, say, firearms, and I said, okay, I'm going to visualize myself. I'm going to go ahead and go through the qualifications course. And what wonders it did. During my second qualifications course, I got a passing score when I thought I would struggle even more.
Visualizing success does not work for everyone. That's why mentors work with students to select the right strategies to build their emotional intelligence. Mitchell Police Officer Andrew Becker is just beginning his journey, but he says he's buying it.
As far as an agency sense, as far as a state sense, and a training sense, I feel, you know, this is one step towards being overall more healthy law enforcement officers that are more in touch with their emotions, you know, able to understand what's going on in their life, both personally and in their career field.
Trainers say that's the goal, arming students with techniques to take them through decades of service. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Keely Boltina.
Let's continue the conversation now with Brian Gortmaker. He's director of South Dakota's Department of Criminal Investigations, and prior to that, he served as training director for the South Dakota Law Enforcement Training Academy in Pierre. He's been in law enforcement for more than 25 years. He joins us now from Pierre. Director Gortmaker, welcome to In the Moment.
Good morning. Thank you for having us today.
We appreciate your time, and I'm wondering if we could turn the clock back a little bit and talk about your history with the Training Academy.
Sure. One of my assignments as an agent for the Division of Criminal Investigation was being promoted to the Law Enforcement Training Director, which I came into that position in late 2002, which really had to kind of retool myself and even like this emotional intelligence that we're talking about. It probably would have been a great benefit if I would have been exposed to that earlier in my career,
right,
to even help make that transition.
So how much has training really changed or evolved or revolutionized in the past 10 years or so, 15 years?
You know, I think that we've come a very long way, and I feel that we're leading not only South Dakota, but we're leading the nation in a couple of very important subject matters. One, of course, is this emotional intelligence that we just heard through the news story that is being utilized, that curriculum, with the new recruits. and also even how that segues into problem-based learning, which is they kind of go hand in hand in a lot of ways, how they intertwine with each other, but definitely the way the curriculum is being delivered today is significantly different than it was 10, 15, 20 years ago.
Tell me what problem-based learning is then.
Sure. Largely, we've learned of it through the medical community originally. I think that they would be the first profession to indicate that they developed a lot of this problem-based learning, but it's using like open-ended problems for the students to lead themselves through solving these problems in a learning process. And what we have learned through problem-based learning and applying it to portions of our academy is that the students gain a lot greater hierarchy of learning or mastery of the material versus what we were doing in the past. I think when I went through, probably the equation would be that it was about 65% lecture-based, or sometimes we call it death by PowerPoint. And then, you know, the other 35% would be skills-based, where you would go work out those particular skills like you heard in the clip ahead of time here, according to our conversation. Now we've kind of turned that self upside down, where about 65% of our curriculum is delivered through scenario-based training, problem-based learning, and the other 35% is now folded back to the lecture-based training, where you would just take a class and then have to regurgitate that material for a test later on.
So I'm wondering if you can give me an example. Can you be specific about what problem-based learning might look like?
Sure. Like in our third phase, our academy is developed into three different phases. The first is a non-emergency phase, where we teach a lot of the basics about law enforcement response. The second phase is an emergency response phase, and then the last phase is what we call an investigations phase, where it is almost strictly driven by this problem-based learning technique, where they are given an introductory problem at the beginning of the third phase that talks about a radio call where you're responding to a missing girl. And from there, they have to learn, where are we deficient in our knowledge? What do we need to go research for ourselves? And then they're also responsible for even the teach-backs and explaining to the instructors that this is what we would need to do if we receive this particular radio call. Mm-hmm. And so that would be an example of how we're specifically using problem-based learning within the academy experience.
So one of the things that it seems to me would be, add a layer of complexity to training law enforcement officers is this need for being able to make decisions quickly, the life-saving decisions for citizens and fellow officers and yourself, but also this, not necessarily competing need, but this need that goes along with it to really do that deep thinking and awareness of situation and self. And how do you balance those from a training perspective to say there are times when the decision, you must act very, very quickly, and there are times when you really need to analyze and evaluate what's going on?
Sure. You know, I think at the very beginning phases when we talk about this emotional intelligence, it is an opportunity to introduce the subject to the students where there's a lot of self-evaluation that goes on. And as you identified in through the interviews of the students in your prior introduction to the story here, you know, they were identifying where they became more self-aware of their, like, emotional triggers or their maybe deficient in how they would react to an emotional situation. And that then, that knowledge and the building upon that knowledge through journaling, but how it's also interwoven into other parts of the curriculum, and then the mentoring that goes on just brings them more along as far as developing greater emotional intelligence skills. So that, as you're indicating, when you get into a very stressful situation, it now becomes better muscle memory because we have exercised those muscles. We're actually trying to rewire our brain or our reactions from where we were prior so that we do have those better interactions with the public. And when those contacts are finished with the public, hopefully there is a relationship built or there is greater understanding between what we see on the street and how the public sees us in our positions of enforcing the law.
So just like any profession, and if you're just joining us, we're talking with Brian Gortmaker. He's director of South Dakota's Department of Criminal Investigations. We're talking about the Law Enforcement Training Academy in Pierre, specifically this notion of problem-based learning and an emotional intelligence curriculum that really sets the, you know, South Dakota apart and a little bit ahead nationwide. And I'm wondering, when some people come into training, just like if you were going into medical school or training with any profession, there might be a hesitation to really dig into that kind of self-awareness. Law enforcement training must be intimidating, you know, to go in and do everything that needs to be done. How do you convince people that this is an important part of that package?
Well, I think the convincing probably comes, first of all, with us working in the early parts of the curriculum to understand what are our own emotional triggers and how has that even led us to this point of life now where these people are interested in law enforcement. And I just think, you know, if we know how to recognize those items within ourselves that we need to retool or control better or develop healthy reactions to, that then later gives us the tools to recognize when we're dealing with highly charged emotions from our customers or the citizens that we're dealing with, that now that we've managed our own emotions first, we can really dial into trying to understand what they're going through, and then work that into our problem solving when we're dealing with that particular citizen in that time of stress. Because I think we would probably all agree that when we're under stress is when we tend to show more emotions, more emotional reactions, you know, through our speech or even physically. And it's just giving those officers that basis to begin with, kind of trying to develop maybe that sixth sense, so that we can understand who we're dealing with as a customer and work for a better outcome.
How does this fall? Is there a hierarchy? You know, if someone is not doing well in weapons qualification, they might get some mentorship and some practice in that. What if someone's sort of flunking emotional intelligence? What kind of assistance is there for them to get back on track?
There is a journaling exercise that the students go through. And there are some specific things that we could learn through their journals or even prompt them to journal when they meet with a mentor once a week and focus on those problems and provide solutions or growth within those areas. And, you know, I think, you know, you're talking about a person failing or flunking out. I think with this journaling, with the meeting with the mentors, you know, they get to progress in this. And then ultimately, you know, they need to also really decide, you know, is this profession for me? And it's having that emotional control, I think, makes us better at our profession. And they get to decide through this academy experience, you know, am I built for this ultimately?
Are there other states, other agencies across the nation who are sort of visiting and looking at some of the things happening in South Dakota and trying to place those in their local organizations?
You know, we have had other states inquire as to how we developed the curriculum, how we provided, you know, this problem-based learning and these open-ended scenarios that the students need to learn and work their way through. We've had other states talk to us about the different scenario-based training weeks that we have. There are three specific weeks at the end of each phase where the students work through a large volume of scenarios, and they're evaluated. There are actors that we bring in that the students interact with, you know, from very simple to very complex problems. And yes, that has generated some good interest from other states. And then even within our own agencies in South Dakota, we are seeing more and more of those agencies go to what's called a police training officer type base of training, which really dials in on this problem-based learning. And also, like I said, it kind of interweaves some of this emotional intelligence within the journaling of the PTO process that many of our agencies in South Dakota are now using as the basis for their training back home.
So that would be a way to follow up and continue this work forward?
Yes, absolutely.
So what was the inspiration to sort of implement it in South Dakota? Where did that come from?
I think largely the inspiration came from us trying to do better at the academy, even looking simply at where we were struggling with student success and failure rates. We know through looking at our curriculum, which has largely remained the same as far as the topics that are covered and the importance of those topics, we were having about a 15% academic or dropout rate at the academy. And since we have implemented more problem-based learning and emotional intelligence training, we're now down to 3%. that fail out of the academy. And so, you know, that as a mark of where we've been and where we're at today, we're really proud of that mark, and hopefully we can contribute a lot of that success to these two items that we're talking about here today.
What do you think if you had gone through this training? You've been in law enforcement for more than 25 years, obviously still going strong, but as you look back, what do you think would have been most useful to you?
I think I would have been better prepared when I first left the academy as a newly minted agent to deal with the public, to understand to a greater degree what these victims or these subjects that I was investigating were going through, even how I would communicate them, how that would help me in my interviews. And also I believe that I would have probably been a better student of the academy itself, just going through the skills-based training. You know, I'm probably an individual similar to many of the listeners today that you can try to teach me something through a text or through lecture, but if I get to go practice those skills after I've immediately had that lecture, I think I'm going to become a lot better student and a more competent earlier on in reproducing what I think would be good police work.
Do you think that there are opportunities for you now to implement some of the emotional intelligence work or journaling work that might even help you still today?
Yes, I know even for our agency and our supervisors, we have gone through the emotional intelligence curriculum, and those individuals that are closely supervised with me and peer here at the Capitol, where our main office is, you know, we often talk about emotional intelligence and how we see that creeping into situations that we deal with, even within our own agencies, or even our own reactions, you know, when we're put under stress for different things that we need to accomplish.
Think forward to some of these young recruits that are going into their job. What are your hopes for them with this program?
I hope, first of all, that we create better career survival for these folks because they will be more self-aware and better aware of what their customer base looks like when they go out and begin dealing with the public, so that you can become more satisfied within your career and be prepared so that when you go home to your family and to your loved ones, you understand maybe what you're carrying with you, or you can help your family understand to help you work through these problems that you face daily. You know, there's a lot of emotions that can go on while either working the street or an investigation. And then secondly, I think just even officer survival during the career and after the career. It was, as it was mentioned in the sound clip, you know, there are about 150 officers that commit suicide per year nationally. And a lot of that obviously has to do with their emotional survival or emotional turmoil. And maybe bringing this curriculum ahead of time in the academy, hopefully we can lower that number in the future.
Brian Gortmaker is Director of South Dakota's Department of Criminal Investigations. We reached him in peer. Thank you so much, Director Gortmaker. We really do appreciate your time.
Thank you.